So I hope that was a fruitful time of sitting. I wanted to kind of explore together this way, really the way in which we listen. And this was sparked from a conversation that I listened to on the podcast that I'm always quoting from, On Being with Krista Tippett. And she, it's an interview with Jane Goodall. And the interview, I think it was a couple years old. Well, actually, I think it was in 2020, maybe. But in it, in this conversation, Jane Goodall is reflecting about when she first went into the Gobi jungle to study the chimpanzees. And she was a young girl, hadn't gone to university, kind of maybe she was 18. The British Empire at the time wouldn't let her go without an adult. So her mom traveled with her. And she really had no idea what she was doing and was told basically, go observe, see what you can learn. And she speaks about being able to be present to understand the communication of how could she begin to communicate with these chimpanzees. And it took sitting with them and observing and caring. And the empathy and the connection that she felt, the love that she developed, and these are my words, not hers, the connection allowed her to understand the means by which she could communicate with these animals. And she tells a story of like she offered something to one of the chimpanzees as they grew used to her and then would approach her. And she offered, I don't know what it was, some piece of fruit, I believe. And the animal took it. And then dropped it, but then grabbed her hand and closed his hands on his hand on hers as a pressure. And she'd been observing that this was such a means of communication between these animals of comforting each other. And as you can imagine, just this delight that would come from her, like, oh, she's actually in a conversation with these animals that don't speak the same language that we do. And I feel like there's a little bit of a theme here in the a few weeks ago, talking from the book Braiding Sweetgrass, in which she talks, Robin Wall Kimmerer talks about the listening to the people of the tree people, the stone people, that being able to open our awareness to consider the communication of other beings. And can we have empathy for the other beings in the world? And back to this conversation with Jane Goodall. She realized so the chimpanzees are 98% genetically the same as us. And her horror at understanding that these animals who can live to be 60 years old were placed in cages for experiments. And she knew that she had to come out of the jungle to try to save, to stop that practice. Her method of bringing an end to that practice was to go into the labs and talk to the scientists and tell stories and share anecdotes of, let me tell you and show you pictures of how these animals are with their children or how they are with each other or their communities. And let's be in a conversation about this. And some animal rights activists were like, what are you doing? That's the enemy. How can you possibly talk to them? She was like, how else do we change? How else do we grow and learn unless we can enter into these challenging conversations? And I think the title of the talk is something like something about being human. And she speaks to this, one of the profound qualities that makes us human is our curiosity, that you all are willing to listen to me. Ideally, there'll be a conversation in which there's a mutual sharing later when you all share that we can learn from each other, that we can come with a sense of openness of what can we learn from each other? Which really isn't the stance that we're acculturated to for many of us. And we can get so scared of tricky conversations. And Carlita and I were speaking about this, about what do we do with the family members where it's like, ooh, I don't really want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about this. We can't go over there in this conversation, which then can lead to a real distancing. And the connection that we can have can really kind of break down. And we can feel kind of lonely, even though we're with people. Because we don't really know how to enter into the conversations that have meaning of what really matters. And I have been thinking a lot about this image of, in my own mind, of Jane Goodall sitting amongst the chimpanzees and just that willingness to sit, be quiet, observe, and entering into. And I think this is true for our the way we are with our own minds, that sometimes our own minds can be kind of treacherous places. That line from Annie Lamott, like, my mind is like a bad neighborhood. I try not to go there alone. I think some of us can certainly relate to that. Certainly the 4 a.m. mind of like, oh, dear God, when things can really spin out, when we can spin out with our thinking mind and being able to be like, wait, how do we get kind of gentle ourselves into the conversations that may be taking place in our minds, some of which are wonderful and illuminating and fun and curious and playful and imaginative. And some of them are like, oh my God, it's a certain kind of hell realm of like, oh my God, I'm stressing out about the same thing. Again, the 2 a.m., 4 a.m. tape that can get going, and how do we gentle ourselves out of that and into a more gentle place? And as I spoke to in the beginning, in that arriving state of like, how remarkable is it that we can actually watch our thinking mind and be like, hey, 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 don't go there. Like, you're going to be running off the cliff, come back. Can we be gentle with ourselves? And this is where personally, I really lean into the teachings with the Brahma Viharas of may I be peaceful, may I be happy, may I be at ease, to give the mind something to do. Okay, you want to spin here. Let's spin these words around as a way of settling and coming back kind of off that brink of conversations that don't, internal ones, but also external ones. And I've been having conversations with people thinking of sort of this next round of holidays, and some of us will be getting together with people, and some of us will be more on our own. And how do we navigate this in a way to welcome all that comes? You know, the Rumi poem, that there may be some, again, whether you're in a room full of people or not, that aloneness, the loneliness, okay, how do we make space for this? And where can we find connection? Which is why I think I love these, what I've been playing around with, reading about, is a sort of how do we allow ourselves to connect with that which is larger than just the other humans in the world, but the world around us. And I want to share a poem some of you have heard before, because I've certainly read it, but I do love it. And it's by David Wagoner, The Sounds of the Stars. When Lawrence Vanderpost one night in the Kalahari Desert told the Bushmen he couldn't hear the stars singing, they didn't believe him. They looked at him half smiling. They examined his face to see whether he was joking or deceiving them. Then two of those small men who plant nothing, who have almost nothing to hunt, who live on almost nothing and with no one but themselves, led him away from the crackling thorn scrub fire and stood with him under the night sky and listened. One of them whispered, "Do you not hear them now?" And Vanderpoel listened, not wanting to disbelieve, but he had to answer, no. And they walked him slowly like a sick man to the small, dim circle of firelight and told him they were terribly sorry. And he felt even sorrier for himself and blamed his ancestors for their strange loss of hearing, which was now his loss. On some clear nights when nearby houses have turned off their visions, when the traffic dwindles, when through streets are between sirens and jets overhead are between crossings, when the wind is hanging fire in fir trees and the long-eared owl in the neighboring grove between calls is regarding his own darkness, I look at the stars again, as I first did to school myself in the names of constellations, and remember my first sense of their terrible distance. And I can still hear what I thought at the edge of silence, where all the inside jokes of my heartbeat, my arterial traffic, the sea above, high sea of my inner ear, myself tunelessly humming, but now I know what they are. My fair share of the music of the spheres and clusters of the ripening stars, of the songs from the throats of the old gods, still tending ever tone-deaf creatures through their exiles in the desert. And this is such an evocative image to me of sort of what we've lost in our concentration or focus on screens and phones, and the isolation that some of us can live in and some of us not, but how can the isolation from the natural world, and how do we start breaking that wall down to be able to listen, to go out into the world, to listen for conversations, for communications that aren't quite ours, that aren't word focused. You know, again, the ability of a young 19-year-old to sit in the forest, in a jungle with chimpanzees, and be able to reach out and hold their hands, to take care of them, to befriend them. And how can we allow ourselves to befriend the natural world that is around us, wherever we are, in urban areas or the in the forest or wherever each of us are living, that the natural world, can we ally ourselves with that world as a sense of belonging, which I've certainly spoken about before, a sense of reassurance, a sense of comfort, a sense of community. Read something else. And this notion of being in conversation, again, with the challenging people in our lives or with those kind of people we don't necessarily know, how do we allow ourselves to drop down? What's meaningful? What matters to you? Do we know enough of those answers for our own selves? What's meaningful to me? What deeply matters? Can we meet people conversationally at that level? This is from an interview, again, with Krista Tippett of David Wyatt. He's talking about John O'Donohue. You've all heard me talk about, but this is David Wyatt talking about John. John used to talk about how you shape a more beautiful mind and find it's an actual discipline to shape the beauty of a mind, no matter what the circumstances are that you're in. The way I interpret it was a discipline of asking beautiful questions, and that a beautiful question shapes a beautiful mind. The ability to ask beautiful questions, often in unbeautiful moments, is one of the great disciplines. Disciplines of the human life. And a beautiful question starts to shape your identity as much as it does by having it answered. You don't have to do anything about it. You just have to keep asking. And before you know it, you will find yourself actually shaping a different life, meeting different people, finding conversations that are leading you in those directions that you wouldn't even have seen before. And I love this notion of how do we ask ourselves beautiful questions? And what does that even mean? What are the beautiful questions? Again, from David Wyatt. Pull one more poem. And that's not it. Sorry. Here we go. From David Wyatt. Everything is waiting for you. Your great mistake. Your great mistake is to act the drama as if you were alone, as if life were a progressive and cunning crime with no witness to the tiny hidden transgressions. To feel abandoned is to deny the intimacy of your surroundings. Surely even you at times have felt the grand array, the swelling presence, and the chorus crowding out your solo voice. You must note the way the soap dish enables you, or the window latch grants you courage. Alertness is hidden in the discipline of familiarity. The stairs are your mentor of things to come. The doors have always been there to frighten you and invite you. And the tiny speaker in the phone is your dream ladder to divinity. Put down the weight of your aloneness and ease into the conversation. The kettle is singing even as it pours you a drink. The cooking pots have left their arrogant aloofness and seen the good in you at last. All the birds and creatures of the world are unutterably themselves. Everything, everything, everything is waiting for you. And what would it be like to allow ourselves to live in a world with this sensibility of everything? Everything is waiting for you, which will include that which is beautiful and joyful and that which is horrible and terrible. 10,000 joys, the 10,000 sorrows, everything is waiting for you. And how can we allow ourselves, I think through this training of mindfulness practices and cultivating a sense of awareness, that's how we become available to be able to pay attention enough to be able to know what's around us, to be able to tap into everything is waiting for us if I'm present enough to meet it. Right? We can get so busy with our own thoughts, with our own ideas, the commitments to being right, to having a certain viewpoint, or just the busyness of running from here and there, it takes us away from the intimacy of our lives, the intimacy to ourselves, to know enough to have an idea of, well, what are the beautiful questions I could ask myself that might then shape a more beautiful mind? To allow ourselves to be intimate with our own presence enough such that we could hear the music of the stars, that we could hear the hum of the trees, the conversation between birds. There was something I was listening to with some guy who was this intense birder. I don't even know where I heard it, so forgive me. But his job was just recording everywhere he could the sounds of birds. And he was listening, went out there with his big mic, to record the sounds crows make. And there was a crow above him in the tree, and he couldn't quite hear him. It's like the crow was singing or cawing so quietly that nothing else could hear it. He's like, oh my God. It's like he's humming to himself for the sheer beauty of being able to sing. Had he not had enough awareness, he wouldn't have been able to hear it. But this way of the magical wonder of things around us, can we get still enough to pay attention to ourselves enough to settle the mind enough to be able to be available to enter into conversations in the world that may be happening? So I invite you to close your eyes. And again, check in. I've been talking a lot of words, a lot of listening, and bringing your attention back into the body. Feeling yourself sitting upon whatever you're sitting upon. And to consider this idea of beautiful questions. What are the beautiful questions that you would like to ask of yourself? And perhaps even imagining, what does that even mean? Those two words together, beautiful questions, to shape a beautiful mind. This notion in Buddhism that which the mind ponders so inclines the mind. To play with that a little bit, that which the mind questions, can we cultivate questions to incline the mind toward that which is beautiful, which means what to you? If we take the Annie Lamont quote and turn it on its head, my mind is like a beautiful neighborhood. I love to go there alone. I love to invite my friends there. What would that look like? And what might be the beautiful questions you might ask yourself to incline the mind to that which you love, that what matters to you, that which is beautiful. What are the beautiful questions you would like to ask those you love? Can you allow yourself to play with this notion of starting conversations with yourself, with your friends, with acquaintances, with those people again that you love that may be difficult? What are the beautiful questions you could offer as a way of entering into a communication, a connection that is meaningful to you? That engenders a sense of warmth and connection and curiosity. Check out, how does the body feel as you imagine inclining the mind in this realm of the beautiful questions, to be sitting with people we know well that we don't know that well, to engage in beautiful conversations that incline the mind towards that which is beautiful in these times that are dark and hard and challenging. Can we use this notion of beautiful questions almost like a threshold to cross into the terrain of beautiful, heartfelt conversations and connections, and letting this play out beyond the dinner table, beyond the porch, beyond wherever we have conversations, and imagine it continuing into the natural world, to allow ourselves to enter into conversations with the trees around us, with the animals around us. to allow ourselves to feel a connection that is waiting for you, waiting for us. So I think I'll stop there. I invite you to open your eyes if they were closed. And thank you again for your kind attention.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.